I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. Available as a podcast too, available on Alexa, and whichever way you get your social media or get your news, we are here covering literally every aspect of health. No one else does that. How are you? All women with dreams. Tonight the world is ours. Hey, we're gonna have. I hope, like me, you two remember that you are blessed and highly favored. A magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. And this amazing month of November, my birthday month, my birthday week, I hope you too are celebrating life. You know, we're having the girl talk today, and then of course I have my event on Saturday, Unfiltered, more girl talk, and then after more girl talk, a bit of Bollinger, you know, because it's my birthday on the 8th of November, just in case you didn't know. Sassy, sexy, 63, just saying. Remember, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And honestly, as we carry on, as we do things, it just becomes more apparent that there is a lot of girl talk that we need to have. And we need to stop shying away from it. Because we have two choices. We either have the conversation, or somebody with a hidden agenda, hidden in plain sight, has it for us. And we end up going down a rabbit hole that we don't want to go down. We're giving our health away. And we need to have these conversations because we got the opportunity to take it back. So let's just, whether it's one or two or three bottles of wine or water, let's have this girl talk. Sitting here, recording, my shoulders are rolling, my hips are moving in my chair. I'm just... Got that beat. Okay, so let's go. Let's have a conversation. I mean, I feel happy because I'm like, for me, I am blessed to be able to do a show, to be able to share on women's health and how it impacts our well-being and what we're doing. And so we're looking at, even just right now, what's trending. And what's trending at the moment is the Melinda French Gates Foundation have invested £100 million into women's health research. They're focusing on areas like menopause, cardiovascular health and autoimmune disease. Now, you know already where there is money to be made, right, for our health. The Gates Foundation gets in there one time. And then they say they're going to offer this stuff. And then we get excited because we think, great, someone's offering money into research. But there is so much information out there, honestly. And when you start to understand what menopause is, remember, it's, you know, the word is used to signal the end of our reproductive life cycle, the end of our reproductive life cycle. And so we're moving into a new season and we need to understand the implications for that new season. But what we need to understand is that we're moving into a season, which means we're bringing something with us into that season. And what we're bringing into that season is our history. We're bringing the unforgiveness, we're bringing the resentment, we're bringing the rejection, we're bringing the anger and the frustration. We're also bringing the joy and the peace and the happiness. All of those are different types of stresses. And depending on how long we've been carrying that luggage around for, depending on how we've dealt with that luggage and dragged it from one place to the next, will really dictate whether or not we are able to have a really amazing experience when we mark the end of our reproductive life cycle and move into what we call menopause, or whether we're going to go into that season with quite a few debilitating experiences like your hot flushes and your brain fog and fatigue, which are signs of us relying on the adrenal glands for way too long, way too early, not recognizing that when we stop producing the natural levels of estrogen from as a sex hormone within the ovaries, we now start to call on the adrenal glands to actually try to make a derivative of estrogen so that we don't have such a dip in such a quick way. We don't realize that if we are more overweight, then we are more likely to see a much bigger drastic drop in estrogen, and therefore some really, really harsh signs and symptoms. And so we've got to start to recognize how the body works and the steps that we can take to change it. Now, if we can start to do that, we can actually make sure that the next generation coming behind us can have a different experience, because many of those people that are having this experience are also having that experience during their menopause season or during maternity. So it tells us that these symptoms can happen to us way before menopause. It doesn't mean we're going into menopause early. It means we're overloading the adrenal glands and we're not actually recognizing what stress does to the body, literally. And we need to do that. So let's start to look at, you know, our health in terms of, you know, our cardiovascular health. Let's start to look at the way in which we breathe. Let's start to look at things that we're doing. And so it's been really, really actually exciting that I started the She Comes First 60-day journey. And in the first 16 days, we've covered themes like self-love, self-care, hormonal harmony, movement, exercise, sleep, food, and intimate health, right? And yesterday, some of the feedback was lovely. It was just like, you know, every day I come on to here, Jenny, I'm learning something new. And it's, you know, it's making me think to myself, like we did emotions and we did hormonal harmony. And when we looked at emotions, we looked at unforgiveness. And, you know, we've got Christians on this course. And they're like, well, you know, I've had some hurts in my past and, you know, that, you know, I've forgiven those people. I don't have that hurt inside of me still. So, you know, I don't see it. I don't have that hurt. I don't have fear. And then it was like, well, actually I do, because I sort of sometimes worry about my children and this. So it's, you know, it's natural to have fear. It's just the levels of fear and what, and the, some of the things that we fear that we shouldn't, right? And then it's like, oh my God, I forgot. There's lots of these little things that have been done to me. This is what was said yesterday. And suddenly I'm like, oh my God, the forgiveness list. It can be a very long list, you know, a very long list. So they were like, wow, I'm remembering old hurts, old stories that I thought I'd moved past. And suddenly remembering and recognizing this body pain. Because when I mentioned about the emotions and stuff and hormones, I mentioned about the right side of the body being male and the left side of the body being female. Now, I know in the brain it's the opposite. But that's how the body works. And first of all, saying, oh, that pain is not as much as it was. And then suddenly realizing it's creeping back. It's like, oh, because of all these different people that I have not realized, I haven't forgiven. And there's small things. So it's really recognizing that side, left side body awareness, and recognizing that, you know, whilst you think the pain is random, your body carries the pain really based on what issues you've had with what sex, you know, whether it's male's issues, female issues, it carries that pain. So, you know, which hip hurts in you, which shoulder hurts, because everything has a meaning to it. They're not just hurting, they're speaking through your body. So we need to make sure that we understand that. We also need to understand, you know, something like, you know, if your right hip is hurting you, then maybe it's because you've been carrying control. The left side, left shoulder is tight. Maybe forgiveness is stuck. You know, this journey helps your physical symptoms. Sorry, this journey maps your physical symptoms. It doesn't help you. It does help. It maps it so that it can help you to overcome it. And so, you know, this is where we need to recognize that this is where she comes first. It's so unique because as a Czech professional, when I worked, you know, I've been working under the Czech umbrella since 2001, and Paul has 6 principles of total health, which are absolutely spot on, fantastic. Thoughts, breath, hydration, sleep, food, and exercise. So that's the 6 that he has. And in lockdown, as I've mentioned before, I added 2 more. So I added social connections and intimate health, because I realized that even as an intimate health coach, you know, we look at it as exercise, but actually I babysat my nieces over the weekend, and I went to a different David Lloyd's that's based kind of just within that whole grounds of the South Downs National Park. And what was really interesting is, you know, obviously the grounds that this place sits in, absolutely beautiful. And I went to, and they've got reformer Pilates in that one, which they don't have in our David Lloyd. So I paid to do the class, great class, really enjoyed it. But what I found interesting is that we have this assumption as females, we're now mentioning pelvic floor, so it's being mentioned in classes now. But I would wager a bet that these women don't know how to activate it fully. So what happens is you get told to draw in your core and pull up for your pelvic floor. That's quite a statement. And that's a statement that many people don't really understand, right? Because when they're drawing in the core, sometimes you need visual aid. So when I teach people to activate through the transverse rather than the core, because there's 6 sets of muscles and then there's sub-muscles that make the core up. So I kind of get you to put your 2nd finger in, say we call it the middle finger, right? Put that finger in the belly button, put the index finger above, so spread your fingers wide, put your middle finger in your belly button, put your index finger above the belly button, and your 3rd finger, the ring finger below. So you've got a nice spread. And then what you're focusing on when you're trying to activate your core, in inverted commas, is first of all taking that deep breath in and feeling the fingers being pushed out. So I always say that that middle finger is like man on the mountain. So you're focusing on the belly button being pushed forwards, right? Then what you want to be able to do is imagine you're trying to gently draw the belly button away from that middle finger. So when you start to activate through the transverse, your girdle muscle, for proper support, the major stabilizer for the low back, what you do is you start to draw away. You can actually feel the movement under that middle finger, but there should be literally no movement in that index finger. And that's where most people are drawing from. They're drawing from the rectus abdominis and not from the transverse, right? And then there may be some little movement in the lower abdomen, which there should be. That's what you want. So you want to slightly draw it towards the spine, and then you want to imagine you're trying to draw it up towards the diaphragm. So what happens is there's a movement, a slight movement inwards of your middle finger. And then as you draw up towards the diaphragm, that the gap between your index finger and your middle finger closes. It gets smaller. So I paused and I'll say it to you one more time because I'm giving you something. This is gold here, love. This is gold. So index finger above the belly button, middle finger on the belly button, 3rd finger below. Spread the fingers out so you can feel. Take your deep breath in. Remember, it should be 2/3 tummy, 1/3 chest. You want to breathe into the tummy. Man on the mountain, tummy expands. Index finger should be the highest finger because the belly button, that's going to be the apex of the extension. So it's like man on the mountain. Focus on the middle finger. Gently draw the belly button away from the finger as if you're trying to make space between the finger and the belly button, drawing it back towards the spine without having an intentional movement from the under the index finger. That's when you know you're using rectus abdominal activation as opposed to transverse. Now, what happens is this. When you activate the transverse and draw it back towards the belly button gently, and then imagine you're trying to bring it up towards the diaphragm, so it's going up towards the sternum, the gap between the index finger, between the second finger, middle finger, and the index finger becomes less. You got a small movement in the lower abdominals. So that activates that muscle there. Now, what's really interesting is we have this other muscle. It's like, Paul Check calls it like the gony wires on a ship, on the rudder, you know, on the post, the sail post. Those muscles are on the same loop as the transverse abdominals, and so is the pelvic floor. And so when you activate one, there should be a co-contraction of the other two, which is what we call the natural girdle. So that's now switched on to stabilize the trunk and allow the limbs to move. That's what's supposed to happen. But a lot of the times, we're not really aware of that. So there should be a natural contraction. So if you were to put your right hand in that position I told you, take your left hand and place your middle finger on your perineum. And you should feel that as you draw in and slightly up, the perineum will move away from your finger. It's going up as well. That's what you want. But what's really important is when you're switching these muscles on, the amount of activation that you have needs to be relative to the weight you're going to lift. So if you're drawing it right in and up all the time, but you're only lifting your own body weight, and it starts to respond according to how you use it, then when you really need to lift something heavy, you won't know how to switch it on, you won't have the protection, and that's when you can do yourself damage. That's what we're not being taught in a classroom. So we're putting these weights on these reformer plates, we're being told to switch these on, and then we're doing some of these exercises, but it was only until a little bit further in that we're being told to just tilt the pelvis and close the gap between the bed and your back, and then try and keep it as still as possible. So now you know you've got some kind of stabilizing, because you switch those muscles on, you lay on the bed, and now the bed becomes your support, and so you stop using the muscles. That's the problem. And then if you put too much pegs on your reformer plate, you can blow a disc in your back. So everything has its place, but there's no such thing as a bad exercise. It's just either a poorly taught or a poorly executed. The lady taught well to a point, but whether or not it was interpreted and executed is another story. Because you've still got, there's not loads of beds, but you've still got to move around. And in these classes here, for some reason, they've got this thing about having this dimmer lighting. I don't get it. You need to have bright lights in these classes so that you can really see what the body's doing. Let's play a trial and come back. I hope now you know how to activate your transverse abdominal and stabilize your span.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So I'm looking forward to my birthday this weekend, because what's really nice is that I get the opportunity to educate, entertain, and celebrate all under one umbrella. So what's really nice is that, you know, I love talking about intimate health. I think it's such a fantastic, fascinating topic, because there's so many layers to it, and there's so many things to, you know, it's like I'm peeling an onion that just that you never seem to get to the core. You're just always peeling, there's always something else, because it's not just physical anatomy, it's like the emotional architecture is huge, it's far-reaching, right? The pelvis is like your balancing bridge. You've got breath, trauma, sensation, connection. And, you know, if you'd been on this 16-day journey, you'd have entered the room feeling different. But that's it. And you'll leave it different. And I think that's quite nice, because, you know, when we go to church, we get told to sort of come empty so that we can be filled with the word. And a lot of people are coming, and we're not empty as such, but I'm having that, I'm having my post finally turned into an illustration. And I'm going to finalize it today. I'm just trying to decide who will draw this for me. And what's really nice is that I've asked for this, I've always said it for years, that I wanted to have this sketch done where you have all these emotional traumas and hurts and pains and things that we carry around with us that we need to let go of. And it's almost like, it's like left luggage, not for reclaim. And then you've got, you know, anger, resentment, rejection. Unforgiveness for me is a trunk. Then you have things like you're holding on to. So you have it done in different things. You've got trunks, you've got bags, you've got suitcases, you've got holders. Because sometimes we're just holding on to stuff that we, that doesn't serve us anymore. And we don't actually realise the structural implications, the physical pains that is linked to it, much less the emotional, digestive implications. And even the postural ones. We're hurting ourselves by carrying this stuff around that we really don't need to carry. So we just need to think about, you know, how we're going to, what we're going to do, and recognize our body, recognize really, like, you know, how the structural and emotional lens of our body is really impacting our life. So, you know, let's spend today having a look at it, shall we? Let's have a little look, you know, because I'm a posture queen. I love posture. I understand it's the position from where all movement begins and ends. I know people think that I walk tall. They can't believe my height because they think I look taller. It's more because I stand taller, which means I stand with good posture. And that's literally what it is. So, you know, think of the structure. Think of the pelvis. Think of the pelvis as the bridge between your upper and lower body. And when the pelvis shifts, emotionally, everything else listens. It has to listen, and structurally. So, oh, the pelvis has shifted. All right, if the pelvis shifts, come on feet, let's shift. Come on knees, let's shift. Hips, let's shift. Spine, shoulders, eyes. Everything has to shift. And we don't even think of it that way, right? So when the pelvis shifts, your internal organs shift too, because if your knees shift and your feet shift and your shoulders and your head, everything shifts outside that you can see, then internally, reproductive, bladder, bowel, your sense of self shifts as well. And that's a really easy, interesting exercise to do, because just get someone to take a picture of you sideways, forward, back, and then close your eyes. And when you close your eyes and stand still, your body now has to use a different horizon and sensorily become more aware of how you are in space. And you can close your eyes and feel, are you rocking to the left? Are you rocking to the right? Are you rocking forward? Are you rocking back? We're rocking left, we're rocking back, we're rocking front, we're rocking. What are you doing? You're rocking. So your body's trying to balance itself based on what it sees, or what it feels, sorry, what it senses. And so the sensory system, is what, that's what you are now relying on. You're relying on your sensory system because you've taken the eyes away. But your sensory system will balance you based on the position of your feet and your pelvis, because now what it's doing, it has to rely on the pelvis, and when it relies on the axis and the feet, then the feet rely on the pelvis relies on the feet. But the balance of your eyes, your inner ear and your jaw, what remain level on the horizon, sensorially now, they will do it. And so that's a really great test. So sometimes, you know, like emotionally, as I said, over the 16 days, some people have discovered that they've been holding on to something they didn't name. And literally what I'm talking about is maybe a memory, a loss, a hurt, you know, a disappointment, all of those things you're holding on to, but you didn't name them. But they are being stored in your fascia, they're being stored in your pelvic floor, and they're being lived out through your breath. Yes, they're being lived out through your breath. And just by default, that living out of those things through your breath is actually impacting the environment in your inner world. And how you're using your adrenal glands. Remember, we started at the top of the show talking about the adrenal glands and menopause. So if you are holding the breath, Remember, it's like literally acidifies the body. If you are hyperventilating, what you're doing is you're altering the pH regulation inside the body. So the body doesn't know what's going on, but it just senses, it senses that it's in danger. And so when it has that sense of danger, what it then wants to do is try to protect itself. And so when you're doing this, what happens is the oxygen within the body, because now you're breathing, is much more in the chest, and so the diaphragm doesn't move freely, which means the abdominal wall can't work properly, which means the pelvic floor can't work properly. Everything's tightening up and it's not working well. You're weakening the structures within the body. You're also taking away the vitality and movement from the internal organs, because if you're not breathing right, then the organs don't get their natural rocking motion, which is what gives them their vitality and their life. So when we look at organ health, when we look at the health of our body, we have to look at the quality of our breathing. That's where we have to start. And so we suddenly start to go back to structure, emotion, and then when we move on from emotions and look at what, you know, how we imagine, that song that Mariah Carey had, you know, you got me feeling emotions deeper than I've ever been loved or deeper than I've ever been felt. So we have to understand the power of our emotions and remember the power of our emotions, because our emotions drive and dictate the hormones that we release and the hormones that we're living on. And that's a very, very important point for us, because if we do not want to overload the body with stress hormones, too much cortisol, to the point where what happens is, you know, our four main sex hormones are going to be estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, and cortisol. And what we don't want to do is have too much cortisol. We know cortisol plays a great role. We know it can help in regulating blood pressure and cardiovascular function. We know it helps in breaking down and metabolizing our proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. We know it plays a good role. We know there are good roles. But we also know that what it does is when it's in overdrive, it actually suppresses the digestive system. It suppresses that part, the parasympathetic pathway, which is our rest, rebuild, restore pathway. And it also suppresses our sex hormones. So we don't want to be living on it too much. And what I mean by that is it will make the DHEA and estrogen drop to levels that then become quite dangerous for us, and we start to have problems, different types of problems. And so that's why we have to really understand what we're doing. So we look at the emotions, we look at the structure, we look at the emotions, and we look at the lifestyle. We have to look at our lifestyle. We have to. Because remember, that lifestyle may be the reason why 100% for most people is what's driving the imbalances in our hormones in the first place. But actually, let's look at it in terms of nutrients. A lack of nutrients, shallow breathing, acidic environments. That just, you know, they're not fancy terms. Literally, they are the soil your body uses to field its next season. This is what I'm saying to you. When you look at the menopause and you're moving into that season, you have to recognize that it is the lifestyle history, the emotional history, the structural history, the spiritual history. It's your physiology that you are taking into that season. And literally, it's like these are seeds that you're planting into the soil of your body that you take into the next season. And so therefore, when they mature, ready, you're going to reap the fruit of the soil that you've planted and lived on. So if your soil is poor, your seeds are going to struggle. They're going to struggle to produce good fruit. You cannot get good fruit from a poor seed. And so we have to be able to look at that in its entirety and understand that that is an issue for us. And then we kind of then go, okay, fine. But you know what? I was born in 1962. And we're in 2025. So now I'm in the aging season. I'm in the aging season, but I'm aging gracefully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, best and highly favored, designed for signs and wonders. I ain't aging old, you understand? It's just a number. It's just they've got 26 backwards, or they've got 36 backwards now, almost. And so, you know, aging and celibacy, there's a lot of women who are walking around celibate, and really it's not by choice. It may be through divorce, it may be through becoming a widow. It can be a number of reasons why we're walking around, we just don't have partners. But there are a number of women that are walking around who are aging and they're celibate, but they're not understanding the changes to their inner world, because you cannot see what's going on your inside. And we don't really pay attention to our lifestyle. So we often think of intimacy, or we often think of it as something that's youthful. And so we look at intimacy ending when we feel like our youthfulness has gone. Not youth, youthfulness has gone. But the body is always asking for connection in one way, shape or form, right? So the body keeps asking for, this is the truth. And it asks for connection through sensation, through movement, through breath. It asks for connection through touch, through feel. It's asking you, even just the sensation of eating, the sensation of drinking. But it's asking for physical touch as well. So when we ignore it, you know, we're sacrificing. You know, we think, you know, strong, I don't need no man. I'm strong. I can do bad all by myself. You can do bad. But doing it all by yourself, you're doing it to yourself. It's not I can do bad all by myself. It's I'm doing bad to myself. You have to decide why you believe you have the right to be bad to yourself. Why would you do that to yourself? Someone else wants to do it too. You don't? You do it as well. Come on. Fix up. Look sharp. You don't need to do that. So, whether you are a working woman, a single mum, a caregiver, a wife, a daughter, a mother, a grandmother, whatever you are, your pelvis hasn't taken a break. Like, you're born with a pelvis. It shapes everything you do and every movement, every thought, every emotion. You know, it's the gateway that links our inner and outer worlds and, you know, bridges the upper and lower body. Excuse me. Your body has held you up, right? So now you get to ask, what do I need to stand up for myself? What do I need to stand up for myself? And where do I need to stand up for myself? Because there's always something missing in for many of us. I always feel like there's something missing. And I think the most important thing for us to recognize is that there's a spiritual side to us that many of us don't explore and don't understand. So I'm quite excited because we're going to move into rehydration, and then we're moving into spirituality and sunlight. And it is a very, very powerful part. So that is where we're going to move into. We're moving into spirit and thought, right? So that's the spirit and thought phase of She Comes First. That's the S and the T. So we've got three letters left to finish She Comes First. Rehydration, spirit and thought. And then that it's going to be so exciting, right? So when we start to look at sort of health with hydration, sunlight and spirituality, thought architecture, you know, we're able to show this full picture of how the body doesn't separate itself from your mind and your soul. Now, the wait list for the next 60 day will be opening up very soon, because I'm telling you, if you really want to understand your self-love, self-awareness, self-love, self-care, self-awareness, that's your S, your hormonal harmony and your emotional empowerment. That is your She, because that underpins your connections, your oxygen, your movements that matter, your exercise, your sleep, your food, your intimate health, your rehydration, your sunlight and spirituality, and your thought architecture. That is you. That's your 15 spoke health wheel. And that's the difference. And really understanding that, you know, that 13 is about completion, but 15 is about accountability and responsibility. And so there's 15 spokes in our 13-step health wheel. And so we get to complete the 13 letters, right? Which is about completion and finishing. But then the number 15 represents responsibility and accountability. So we are responsible for every area of those conversations that we have. And then that's why I know there's nothing like it, right? And then what you do is you start to then drill down for the next 45 days into how you recognize where you need to pay attention to, and now you get the tools and the deeper dives into those areas so that you come out transformed. You're a different person. And, you know, that's priceless. That's what they call priceless.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're moving into the last part of the show, and I'm excited because, as I said, this weekend is going to be a great weekend. And I've got two wonderful speakers. I feel like it's three generations that are going to be talking on my birthday. So we have wonderful Pentelin Kamara. And Pentelin Kamara is passionate about beauty business mentoring. Skin and smile expert. Don't you love that? Skin and smile expert. And the visionary founder of The Beauty Room. An entrepreneur. So she has over 4 years dedicated in transforming skins and smiles. She's helped more than 2,000 clients unlock the glow and confidence through her expert care, education and empowerment. So she's going to blend us. She has a blend of science, self-love, soul and empowering women to feel beautiful inside and out. So she guides women and beauty professionals to build thriving, purpose-driven businesses by embracing their authentic power. And I'm looking forward to her speaking. She will be sharing on the beauty aspect of resting, rising, and receiving, but how it's shared. It's not just your straightforward, standard pampering. It's deeper than that. And then we've got wonderful Francesca Bleckner, and she's a holistic health and embodiment leadership coach who also helps high-achieving, purpose-driven leaders restore vitality and reconnect with their essence. With over 24 years in wellness, she uses a body-based coaching and nervous system approach, bridging science, metaphysics, and somatics. Her integrative approach has supported clients in overcoming burnout, healing chronic health issues, and breaking generational patterns. An author and global retreat leader, Francesca has guided CEOs, celebrities, and Saudi royalty to thrive in health, life, and business. So how great is that? And then, of course, you have me, right? And my intro says, Jenny Russell has been a trailblazer in women's intimate and holistic health for over 30 years, just in case you didn't know who I really was. Empowering women to take control of their bodies at every stage of life, from early menopause to well into and beyond the menopause. A former athlete and 3 times British UltraFit champion, Jenny has been crowned Britain's fittest woman, 95, 98, and 2000, and current record holder, and still embodies that vitality at almost sassy, sexy 63. That says 62, right? She has combined her athletic discipline and deep expertise to pioneer sensory-based programs for the non-surgical management of pelvic organ prolapse, incontinence, and sexual function, transforming the lives, posture and performance of women from boardrooms to sports arenas. I've done celebrities too. So they're all over the place. They're just, they are people first. And that's the beauty of being able to do that with women. So I think we've just been blessed with what we do know is a great show and has been a great show. And I really hope to see you this weekend. And like I said, you can go on to Eventbrite if you're in London and you want to come along, or even on the outskirts, you want to come into London, go on to Eventbrite and type in Unfiltered Soho. Yeah, Unfiltered Sacred Ground Soho this weekend. What you've started, you don't have to finish alone. You can leave with clarity, embodiment, connection and momentum. This is the chance you have. Your body has always been speaking. Your mind has always been listening. Your body speaks. Your mind listens. And this weekend, you can give them both the permission to synchronize, because most of the time, we're just not synchronized. Rest is not a weakness. Rise is not risk. You are already enough. You are becoming more. That's all I want to say to you. It's not a weakness if you rest. It's not a risk if you rise. And it's definitely not okay to receive. As I said, I babysat my nieces at the weekend and I forgot. I can't believe I forgot it. I have this really beautiful big jar and I use it to get the coconut water when I go to the market. On a Sunday at the farmer's market. But I also, it makes about just under a litre and a half of juice. So I made a watermelon, lime and ginger juice to take with me that I was drinking for breakfast and throughout the day. I forgot that there's about a third left and I forgot it. And I also took a couple of ginger shots with me as well, and a watermelon ginger shot. And I forgot them. So I called my sister-in-law the next day and said to her, look, I forgot these. And she said, who is it more important for to drink? Who should have it first? And I said, oh my God, you need to come down on Saturday. That is exactly what I'm talking about. We do that straight away. We go, oh, who can I help? And that, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with helping. But on the airplane, it says you must put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help others. So I said to her, you need it. You drink it. And let my brother have some. And let your children have some. But you drink it. Because what I don't want is for it to go to waste. And when people don't have a palate for certain things and they're not willing to try certain things, they don't recognise that. We have an opportunity to make changes to our life, which means we have an opportunity to make changes to our children's lives too, because we dictate the nutrition and lifestyle they have. Bailey said to her mum, because she doesn't wear these joggers anymore, and she said, her mum said, do you think they'll fit me? She said, but they'll fit Auntie Jenny. Why can't you be her size? She doesn't need to be my size. We're all built fearfully and wonderfully and we're unique in our own way. But this is from the lens of the child's eyes and the mouth that a child speaks from. So they see things in certain ways. Where I have always told my clients that when they eat according to their metabolic type or where they find themselves, they're weight will normalize for them where they find themselves. We weren't all designed to be small and very slim, but we were designed to be structurally sound. We were designed that way. And so we need to, and we know there's anomalies, and we know for the most part that's how most of us are designed. We know some people are born again uniquely, fearfully and wonderfully made. We may look at a disability or something missing as somebody being less than. But based on how that person sees themselves and is brought into the world and taught, you'll be surprised. That's why you have the man or the woman with no arms and no legs who achieve the most amazing, amazing, amazing things. We all know about Nick Wojcik. I mean, he is amazing. So we know he was born with what's called tetra-amelia syndrome, which is a rare condition categorized by the absence of all four of his limbs. But he is an internationally recognized Christian evangelist, author, and resilience coach. And he inspires audiences with messages of self-worth, purpose, and overcoming adversity. So if we don't find ourselves in that position, which many of us do not, then we have to say to ourselves, what can I do? Because everything we experience is a way for us to learn. And sometimes, they say learn the hard way. I've learned a lot of things the hard way. We learn the hard way, but we still learn. This is the thing. You say like you learn the hard way, but are you not still learning? You're still learning. It's like, so sometimes you got to ask yourself, why do you keep punishing yourself? That's why I said, when they say, I can do bad all by myself. You know, the funny thing is, you see it in some of those movies and then women are like, I can do bad all by myself. And I think, yeah, you can. You can make poor choices, poor mistakes. You can go to bed whatever time you want. You're doing bad to yourself. You can eat the wrong foods as the majority of the time. You're doing bad to yourself. Do not get me wrong. I do eat wrong foods sometimes. Sometimes. But if I eat wrong foods all the time, I'm doing bad to myself. So when I say I can do bad all by myself, yeah, just by my choices. So I had an acronym designed. And I designed it I've got an acronym in my book, Pelvic Floor Secrets for Diet. That's been since 2013. And that's difference in eating this, difference in eating that. As I've shared with you guys on many occasions, only two ways to eat. Towards optimizing health or minimizing health. So I decided to do one for food because obviously in She Comes First, I have to use the word food. And I thought, yeah, food literally, because really it's about the nutrition for me. So food is literally the foundation of our decisions, right? But actually, food as an acronym, if I follow it like diet, then literally it's this versus that, right? So it's the foundation of our discipline versus, excuse me, the foundation of our desires. So on one hand, the foundation of our discipline makes us make wise choices. The foundation of our desires, the eyes are bigger than the belly, makes us make choices that are not quite so wise. So the difference is the foundation of our decisions. That's literally what it is. That's food. Foundation, F, of, our, O-O, desires, food. Foundation of our discipline, food. Foundation of our decisions is where we find ourselves. That's the difference. Pelvic Secrets at iCloud.com. Jenny Russell on LinkedIn and Facebook. Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook. And at Pelvic Secrets on Instagram and TikTok. Have a look at the little link my niece did for me for Unfiltered. But until next week in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay well, stay safe, and know that you can have a drink for me wherever you are, anywhere around the world, to Sassy, Sexy, 63, celebrate my time. And for those of you that are on the same day, November's a beautiful month. Stay well, stay blessed, stay safe.